Welcome back to another episode of Cohen's Corner. We haven't talked to you in maybe, it's been a few weeks, maybe like 3 weeks, and it's now a very exciting time for all baseball fans, not just Mets fans, with the trade deadline less than a week away. So this episode, we're going to be diving into all the trades that haven't happened yet around Major League Baseball that we think will at some point, or trades we're hoping we don't see. We're going to get into everything. We're going to talk about the Subway Series that just happened. The Mets won 2 games, by the way, if you missed it, but I don't know how you would miss it. Jacob DeGrom might be back, might. Fingers crossed, they're saying, this week against Washington. We'll see. But yeah, it's very exciting times for all baseball fans. So yeah, let's get right into it. Elizabeth, how are you?
Even better, knowing that the Mets, as you said, won both games of the Subway Series this week. And, you know, like going into those 2 games, I was optimistic that the Mets would at least win one of them, just because, you know, looking at the pitching matchups, yes, the Yankees lineup has been on fire most of the year, but I feel like the pitching definitely favored the Mets in the series, just with, you know, Taijuan Walker pitching really well recently against Jordan Montgomery, who I think has struggled recently the last like month or so, and then gave up a few runs against the Mets, and then having Scherzer pitching against Herman on Wednesday. So going into the series, I was like optimistic that they would not be steamrolled, but I definitely didn't necessarily expect them to win both games, especially after, you know, they had the lead on Wednesday, gave it up in the eighth, and then ended up winning it on a walk-off in the ninth. So overall, I was very, very pleased by the outcome, especially since the Mets gained a game on the Braves in the process, which is always nice. So the one and only time I root for the Phillies ever is if they're playing the Braves, and they actually came through this week with a series win. So for the first and hopefully last time, thank you to the Phillies for beating the Braves in that series. But yeah, overall, like, you know, and it was interesting because the first series of the break, the Mets really just could not get a big hit against the Padres in the first 2 games. And then Sunday night, the bats heated up. Maybe it was the Sunday night baseball. The Mets, I think, are like now 5-0 on ESPN.
Yeah, they haven't lost on ESPN
year,
yet,
which is new for them. I feel like usually they get trounced. So I'm appreciating them not getting embarrassed so far on national broadcasts. But yeah, like watching the 2 games against the Yankees, it's like every aspect, you know, the Mets didn't like blow them out. They didn't score tons of runs, but I just feel like they were very, very focused on defense. I don't think they made really any errors or defensive mistakes. You saw the error by Donaldson led to a run for them in, I think it was the game on Tuesday where Lindor hit the ball to third. So I was very pleased. I feel like, and I don't know tell me how you feel about this, because I feel like the sentiment in at least the media, like Mets fans get really excited about beating the Yankees. And I feel like, yes, the Mets have the richest owner in baseball, but also we're still not used to beating the Yankees. So it's still exciting to know that they can at least have the upper hand briefly in the Subway Series. And I think these games matter a lot for Mets fans. I think the Mets players get really fired up by it. And I don't know if Yankees players feel extra fired up to play the Mets or not. I get the sense that
they
don't. So like, I'm not sure, because I know you were at the game on Wednesday. So let me know, at least let's talk about like how that experience was for you, because I've actually never been to a Subway Series game. And I definitely get the sense on TV that, and maybe also because it was at Citi Field, I'm sure Yankees fans get really excited about the games too. But I do get the sense that Mets players get like have a little extra chip on their shoulder trying to beat the Yankees than the Yankees do for the Mets. And I think they showed it these 2 games. I think they played with just a little bit extra oomph.
Yeah, they did. I think they played into the environment. Because think, the Yankees are used to, most of the players on the team used to playing in that playoff environment at some point in the year. You know, the Mets, like Alonso said, he's yet to play in a Major League Baseball playoff game, but that's how he would assume it would feel like. Eduardo Escobar said it almost felt like he hit a home run in the World Series, which let's pump the brakes a little bit. Like it's still July, but it was great. I mean, being at the game Wednesday night, it was incredible. Just the atmosphere, pretty much every seat was sold out. I mean, it was a great game. And Scherzer, I mean, just in that game alone, obviously when Scherzer's been healthy for us this year, he's been as advertised. Like, he's been everything we could have hoped for. He's been the ace that we've desperately needed while DeGrom's been out, and it's going to be huge for us in October, God willing, everybody's healthy. But, yeah, Scherzer, he was dealing. It was a really good game. I mean, Alonso hit that home run in the second inning. Lindor comes through with an RBI hit. Obviously, David Peterson, he got put into a role that – he's yet to be put in. He's a long reliever, and to be put in the eighth inning like that, I don't know.
That wasn't fair.
It makes a little more sense a little bit now that we know Drew Smith wasn't able to be used. It didn't seem like he wanted to go to Diaz at all Wednesday after Diaz, who had been great the night before, getting four strikeouts for all his outs. But yeah, not having Drew Smith, he obviously wanted to use Lugo after that. So, I mean, Lugo comes in, cleans up Peterson's mess. It was finally the good Lugo. That was the best, I think, Lugo's looked all season.
From him.
That's going to be huge for this team because, obviously, they need to make a couple moves for relievers here at the deadline. But if Lugo can at least return to partly return to his form that he had in 2019, 2020, that'd be huge for this team. So if you're telling me that you're going to have a really good Lugo, maybe hopefully Drew Smith comes back. Trevor May is going to be back right around the time DeGrom is going to come back. So, oh, they're getting healthy, even with the subtraction of Smith. But I would hope that they're going to bring in a reliever like Robertson or somebody like that. But they're going to need it. But it was nice that they were finally able to beat a good team because, Houston kind of – they kicked our ass when we played Houston 4 games.
Yeah, so those games were not fun.
Beat a good American League team like that 2 games in a row. I mean, it's really good. Really good for this team, just obviously as a morale boost, but to be able to know that we're able to compete against these high-level teams, it's good going into October for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, the Yankees have a slightly better record than the Astros, but I would say in terms of an opponent, I would say they're about evenly matched. And actually, the Yankees have had a couple of pitching injuries recently, so I would probably give the slight upper hand to Houston just in terms of healthiness at the moment.
Since the All-Star break, Houston's played much better than the Yankees have.
Didn't they just get swept by the A's?
The A's, yeah, okay. I mean, I should eat my words.
That's so crazy about baseball.
They beat them, but they swept them on that doubleheader.
Yeah.
And they played all right. The Yankees just haven't played that well. They played Baltimore. They won 2 out of 3 in Baltimore, but they could have easily lost 2 out of 3. Yeah, I guess you're right. Houston did just get swept, which isn't good.
How do we get swept by the Astros in 4 games? And the A's, I think, have won like 5 out of their last 6 against the Astros. Baseball's crazy.
Remember the Reds gave the Yankees some work a couple weeks ago. So
they won that series.
Hey, baseball, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's like in very small doses, like any team can win any series anytime, no matter how lopsided the matchup may seem. But I definitely feel like it was a great boost for you're right. Having played now both, I would say, like heavyweights in the American League with the Yankees and the Astros, Mets didn't fare well against the Astros. Luckily, they're done with them for the season now, but they won both games against the Yankees. And I think that's really important. Like you said, a lot of the Mets players in the current team, and we've been saying this, a lot of the players that have been here, the homegrown players, just haven't had a lot of really intense games. And I think these Yankees games, while they're not a playoff preview necessarily, I still feel, and I don't want them to put extra pressure on themselves because ultimately the games against the Yankees don't mean any. I mean, the games against like the Braves and Phillies are way more important for the standings than the games against the Yankees. But I do think it's important for them. It still matters, I think, sending a message in those 2 games, especially, you know, winning both of the home games. And yeah, going back to Scherzer too, like, especially since his injury, coming back from his injury, he was good in his first 8 starts of the year. Like, he was very, very good. But I just feel like he's really turned it up a notch in his few games back. Just a little extra ability to bear down with runners on base. That, you know, I feel like his first few games of the year, sometimes he'd give up hits with runners on and you'd be like, okay. But I just feel like he has been extra locked in these 4 starts since he's come back. And it's hard to believe I didn't appreciate him when he was on the Nationals and then the Dodgers, but you really see like why he's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. He's 38 now, and he looks as fresh as ever.
He feels like he's 28. So I mean,
right? I mean,
he looks like it.
He looks like he could pitch for like 5 more years, based on what I'm seeing here.
He's baseball's Tom Brady.
Well, one can only hope that he goes, you know, into his 40s like Tom Brady. The Mets could really use that. I was texting you earlier, but I still like can't. I don't know. It's maybe because I haven't actually seen him pitch in person. I've been to a few Mets games so far this year, but I haven't actually been to a game Scherzer has started. But you watch him in like post-game interviews and you're like, I can't believe like Max Scherzer is on the Mets. Like, I still can't believe it, honestly. And I know he's been on the Mets now for half a season. But yes, thank goodness. I think just the presence of having him, even though he missed a few starts with the injury, just having him has been such a huge help for the team attitude overall, the other pitchers. We've seen Bassett. The only times Bassett really hasn't pitched well is when Scherzer was injured and not in
Bassett
the dugout.
Had that like 5-game stretch where he was just really, really bad. But if you take out that little stretch of games, he's been awesome this year. He's been like lately, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he had. I mean, it sucks that the Mets couldn't score any runs when he had 11 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Padres. But
he gave
it's still
up,
a good
he had
sign
that one
that
mistake to Machado,
well.
And that was it.
Yeah, Exactly. After he should have struck him out.
And, yeah, that was bullshit.
But
whatever.
But I mean, even the thing is with missed calls, you still have to make the next pitch.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah. The next pitch he made was right over the middle of the plate. So
right.
He even said that in his post game that yeah, maybe it should have been called, but that next pitch he just made a horrible pitch. But other than that, I mean, Bassett's been awesome. Just his attitude has been really nice to see as well. Like remember his first start of the year against the Nationals and after that, and he was saying how he's not afraid to go after anyone. I think it was he had Juan Soto like 3-0 or something, came back maybe to strike him out or something like that. And he was saying in the beginning of the year, I was not afraid of anyone. And
right. And he's been very accountable too, I feel like, after his starts. Yeah. Like, he doesn't really beat around the bush.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't run from any questions.
Yeah.
When he got traded, he said he wasn't that thrilled to be coming to New York, but I mean, he's got the personality for it. He doesn't give it anyone headlines. He doesn't do anything off the field. He just gets his work done, and you know, he doesn't run from the media if he has a bad start. Like that stretch that he had, he was still available after every game, and he answered every question. And
yeah, for sure. And we'll see how he does today against Sandy Alcantara, who obviously is one of the best pitcher probably in the National League this year. But just one more thing about the start on Wednesday with Scherzer, like. It was interesting seeing the tweets with like the SNY angle from the dugout of his strikeouts of Aaron Judge, because I might be wrong about this, but I can't recall a louder fan reaction to the Mets pitcher striking someone out in a long time.
Especially like just in the middle of the game, like not even
in like the first,
game.
In the third inning, the fans were so, and you were one of them. The fans were so loud every time he struck
loud.
Out Judge.
That stadium
and,
was loud. Yeah.
And it was interesting because, you know, if a Mets pitcher strikes someone out to get out of a jam, usually people cheer and it's like loud. But I feel like it was interesting. I feel like people almost cheered louder for Judge striking out than they did for Marte's walk-off hit. Yeah. I'm probably wrong about that, but and just
well,
from like
think
the
about
tweets
it, like that's
I saw.
The Yankees fans, like that's their guy. So when we're able to strike out their guy, you know, like especially with all the Yankee fans in attendance, I'm sure there's plenty of Mets fans there with their Yankee friends, you know, that are screaming extra loud just to kind of push the buttons of Yankee fans.
That's
like,
true.
That's Aaron Judge. Like if it was any other player, I don't think like obviously it'd be loud, but to that extent, like he's been arguably the best player in baseball and Yankee fans gloat about him all the time. So when our guy Scherzer that we're giving all the money to strikes out their guy Judge that Yankee fans are hoping they're going to be paying after the season. I mean, I feel like that just gives it a little extra oomph, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, it was like deafeningly loud from like the videos I saw of like when Judge struck out. And yeah, it was interesting because I was like, I feel like the cheers for that were louder than when the Mets did something. So I just thought that was funny. But I think that's a good point that people are going to cheer always when the Mets do something well. But you're right. The Mets pitcher striking out Aaron Judge, especially twice with two runners on, was an extra huge moment in the game. And, you know, that's why Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in the game still at age 38. And why he has really looked fantastic this season. And I'm so, so grateful that the Mets have him. It's really incredible, like, how good he still is. And I hope they get to watch him for at least a few more years as a Mets fan. So, all in all, Subway Series lived up to at least my expectations. And I do find it funny how the Yankees announced the Andrew Benintendi trade literally 10 seconds after the second game ended. They just couldn't wait to change the headline from Yankees lose both games at Citi Field to Yankees acquire new outfielder to replace Joey Gallo or whoever. So I thought that was
like
the timing of that was
like,
very amusing.
If George Steinbrenner was still alive, that's something he would do. He'd be pissed off they lost to the Mets. And he's like, yeah, we need to have a good PR hit here and announce Benintendi, because that took that distracted a lot of Yankee fans from what had just happened, you know?
They were all claiming that they didn't care about – yeah, exactly. He's having a great season.
He's going to provide a lot of things that they're lacking. I mean, he's going to hit for a high average. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs, but he'll get on base. He's going to play a really good left field. He won a gold glove last year. So, I mean, he's a great all-around player, and I'm sure Yankee fans love it even more. They can kind of stick it to Boston with kind of their own homegrown guy now that they have on their team.
Good gracious. And isn't it crazy how the Orioles have now passed the Red Sox in the standings?
The Orioles have been a pleasant surprise this season.
The fact that they spent, like, no money in the offseason and the Red Sox spent some money in the offseason and that they're doing better than them, I just find hilarious. I mean, who knows if it'll actually stay that way. They might finish the season in last place still. But for right now, like, good for them. If they actually made a wild card spot, that would be just phenomenal for baseball. So
it would be. Especially considering they're about to trade Trey Mancini to us.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, let's get into it. So trade deadline is obviously coming up. Tuesday, August 2nd. There's a lot of chatter around baseball, around who the Mets should trade for, who they've already traded for. And like, just briefly, we can talk about, so they've, as Mets fans already know, obviously, they traded for Daniel Vogelbach a few days ago in exchange for Colin Holderman, who, I don't know about you, like, I still feel like they could have gotten Vogelbach for, like, someone else.
I love,
like,
Holderman. Well, Epler said trade, he tried, like, and they didn't want anyone besides Holderman.
I just find, like, how are the Yankees able to trade three prospects I've never heard of for a Gold Glove and 300 hitting outfielder, and the Mets have to trade their, like, third best reliever for a bench player? Like, I just don't get how I feel like you see other teams making trades all the time with, like, literal garbage for good players, and I'm like, how come the Mets never seem to do that? I mean, I guess they kind of did with trading two random prospects for Tyler Naquin, who's a decent player from the Reds. I don't think he's going to move the needle that much, but he's, like, pretty good.
He's going to be a better Jankowski is what he's going to be.
Right. So it's interesting, though, that acquiring, like, two lefty bats is not that they're similar players, but I don't know. Obviously, the Mets haven't made a real impact move yet. Vogelbach and Naquin are, like, good bench pieces. If you need to platoon one of them, or not, we wouldn't platoon Vogelbach, but if you need to put Naquin in the outfield sometimes, you're right. I think Jankowski, I liked him a lot at the beginning of the year, but let's face it, he's not really a good hitter. Like, no. Naquin is definitely a better hitter than Jankowski. Mm-hmm. And Naquin has, like, 7 home runs this year, which is 4 more than Dom and JD combined. So I'll take that. It's 7 more than Dom on his own. I think JD has 3 home runs, or maybe, yeah, I think he has 3 all year. So I'll take that. If he adds a little extra something with the bat, then I think he also has good career splits against righties, so that's helpful as well. But yeah, we shall see what that move ends up turning into. I have a feeling he might end up playing, you know, maybe platooning with Cano some days. We'll see, because he's a lefty bat, so I don't really know.
And it gives him what flexibility, his playing time because will be, Naquin can play all over the place. Like, he could play left, you could play right, and then you could put, if you need to give Nimmo a day off, Canna can play center.
Yeah.
I mean, if you needed Marte to play center, he could. Marte's great in right field, though, but it gives them flexibility, and it's a better bench option, honestly, compared to Jankowski. And Jankowski may have more speed than Naquin, but Naquin's still pretty quick. He's got a really good arm in the outfield, so you can put him in for defense late in a game, because we all love Canna, but he's got a noodle for an arm. So
Canna and Nimmo.
Nimmo had a nice throw the other night. That ball, yeah. Donaldson hit off the wall. Nimmo almost got him at second. It was actually nice throw. But yeah.
Nimmo's not known for throwing people out on the bases.
I mean, he wasn't known for anything defensively before maybe this year, you know? Like, his defense has come so far. It's incredible. But yeah, the couple moves of Vogelbach and Naquin, these are just appetizers. The main course is coming. Don't worry, Mets fans. I mean, I think my hunch is that they're going to get Wilson Contreras, hopefully him and Robertson in a package deal. That'd be perfect. I mean, probably going to take, they're going to trade Ronnie Mauricio, which Mauricio's a good prospect, and he's got some power, and he could do well, but he's a shortstop. As Mets fans know, we're blocked at shortstop for the next 10 years with Lindor. So, I mean, Mauricio's not really going to play anywhere. They haven't been trying him out at too many other positions. So, I mean, if anything, he seems like the most likely prospect to be dealt. But yeah, I mean, Contreras would be huge, because obviously you have Alvarez coming up next year. You're not going to bring him up now. And Contreras will be a free agent after this year. So you just need him for these next couple months. He's been the best hitting catcher in baseball all year. He's got a cannon behind the plate. And I mean, I think they want Robertson even more than they want Contreras. Like, Robertson's been a really good reliever.
They could really use him.
So if they could do that, get the two of them, maybe go out, get somebody like an Andrew Chafin or Gregory Soto, one of them from the Tigers from the left side, and then get a righty like Mancini. I mean, in a perfect world, they could go get somebody like a JD Martinez. But if they're going to make the bigger move for Contreras and Robertson together, I don't know how realistic Martinez is. I mean, if you're telling me they're going to get the rest of the deadline, they're going to get Mancini, Contreras and Robertson, and one more, maybe a lefty reliever, I think that would really put this team in a good position to do some serious damage in October.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're going to get Mancini for whatever reason. Just, yes, I agree. Well, let's face it. The two positions that the Mets have gotten the least production out of this year are DH and catcher. And McCann's, I think, on a rehab assignment now, so, like, theoretically he'll be back. But I think they have to – if they can get Contreras and upgrade their offense at catcher and also give them another DH option, he doesn't have to catch every day. So, yeah. Like, if you still want McCann or Nito catching sometimes and Contreras replaces whoever was DHing, I think that could still work. And – Robertson has had an excellent season for the Cubs out of the bullpen. The Mets faced him in that series against the Cubs, and
yeah, he was good.
The Mets won 3 out of 4, but Robertson pitched really well in the games he came into. And, you know, he's also up there in age too, but he has postseason experience with the Yankees. He's he's a veteran pitcher. He's been around for a long time, and this year's pitching great. So I would definitely, and also he has, I believe, I think he pitched, he's a right-handed pitcher, but he also gets lefties out at a very high rate. So if they really need someone to get lefties out, rather than trade for like a bad lefty reliever or continue to, you know, throw David, trying David Peterson in high leverage situations, it doesn't necessarily matter if it's a righty or lefty pitcher. What matters is the outcomes of their at-bats. And he seems like he would be a fantastic option as a good setup man for Diaz. You're right. Drew Smith probably going to be out for at least a few weeks with the lat strain. Lugo, Ottavino, to his credit, has been mostly very, very good.
He's been very good.
I think they can continue to trust him for the time being in high leverage situations. And yeah, I think in terms of a trade, and JD Martinez, I think he's had some injury issues recently. I don't know that I am like trusting that he's going to be healthy the rest of the season for whatever reason. I don't know if I would go after him necessarily. Like if they're going to do a package deal, I think Contreras Robertson makes the most sense. And yeah, like they signed James McCann to a 4-year deal, but they're trying to win this year. Like, I don't see why they couldn't. Who cares about James McCann's contract, in my opinion, if Contreras is available for not that much? Ronnie Mauricio, yes, it's great to have good prospects, but if they can trade him, if they can get through the deadline, acquire impact players like Contreras, Robertson, and yeah, maybe one of the lefty relievers from Tigers, and hold on to like Alvarez, Beatty.
I think Alvarez and Beatty aren't going anywhere.
Unless
other people might, and Alex Ramirez is going to be really good too. He's young. He's like 19. He's already a top 100 prospect. So he might go, but there's no way in hell unless they're somehow getting into the Soto sweepstakes, which I don't see happening. They're not trading Alvarez or Beatty. There's no way.
Who they should go after. I think if Contreras is available and they can get him, why not? He's a free agent after the, like, there's no reason why they couldn't get him. He's great defensively, like you said.
That would just make the lineup so much better. If you had a catcher that could hit like that, like that's why we all think about Alvarez.
Just
like
be more of a threat. Because McCann and Nito were just not a threat.
Yeah, I mean, well, Contreras, like even not for a catcher, like just a hitter in general, Contreras is a great hitter. He's got like a 370 on base. He's a really, really good hitter. So, I mean, that would be awesome.
And I know, I'm not sure how much his name has been like bandied about, but, you know, if they could also, or instead of some reliever from the Tigers, if they got David Bednar from the Pirates, maybe he's having a really good season, can go multiple innings. That could be another arm that I think he's also under control for a few more seasons. So that could be someone else to look at, depending on what the Pirates are interested in doing. The Mets have already gotten two of their players in Vogelbach and Michael Perez, who I think is in AAA now. So we'll see what that ends up being. But you mentioned Juan Soto. I am of the opinion that I just don't think the Mets need to be making the blockbuster move to acquire him. Not that he's not a great player, but I don't know if spending all those resources on him is really where they're best suited. So I don't think trading all those players for him is a good idea at this time. And also then having to sign him to a huge contract when they have so many other players on their current roster who I think they should try to re-sign. So it sounds like you're kind of on the same page as me in terms of the Soto sweepstakes. It's going to be very interesting to see if he does get traded by the deadline or maybe in the offseason. I love Juan Soto. He's an excellent player, but I don't think trading all of their top prospects for him is really in the Mets' best interest at the moment. And yeah, like, what do you think about that? It sounds like you're kind of on, you know,
yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't be super, super distraught if they did, because I mean, he's Juan Soto. He's a once in a generation type player. But I mean, in my opinion, you got Alvarez. I mean, prospects don't always turn out. I mean, Amed Rosario was the top prospect in baseball one time. And while he's a good player, he probably wasn't worthy, looking back, of being the top prospect in baseball. You know, so that happens. Remember Yoan Moncada? He was supposed to be like the next coming as a free agent. He was in that Chris Sale trade. And he's a good player. But I mean, you're telling me you wouldn't have, back in the day, traded somebody like that for a star caliber player? I mean, you would. So, I don't know. I just think Alvarez is going to be so good at 20 years old, and he's tearing it up right now in the minors. I know he's adjusting to AAA right now, but he's so young, and to have a catcher like that, like that's, we're talking about how much of a hole the Mets have had at catcher in the last, five, since Darnell left in 15. I mean, when Darnell was good in 15, after that he wasn't healthy, and then we cut him. But, I mean, since then we haven't had a catcher that could really produce anything. So, I mean, it'd be huge if you could have Alvarez come up next year, and for the next 6-7 years, you have him under control. And Brett Beatty, they think, could be a star with the way he's hitting. So I don't know if I want to give that up when you think about that. Soto could be a free agent in 2 years, and Steve Cohen could just throw all the money in the world at him and get him then. Like, I really hope that whoever Soto gets traded to, and he's going to get traded, I think, before the deadline, whether that's to the Padres, the Cardinals, some people are saying the Mariners. Hopefully just whoever he gets traded to doesn't lock him up long term. And in a couple years, Uncle Steve can kind of just back up the truck and give him whatever he wants. But I'm not going to trade the farm, especially it's a division rival. Like then we'd have to see Alvarez and all these prospects say they do blossom. We're going to have to see that for years. I think they're better off holding what they have and waiting a couple years, hopefully, and you can sign Soto then. But they've done a good job of starting to build up this farm system. So to just tear it all down in one trade, I don't think that's the best idea.
Could they upgrade in the outfield? Absolutely. But I don't think that's a big enough hole that they need to be. Like, say, if they really didn't have – if their outfield situation was, like, terrible, then maybe. But say you reverse the positions and, like, the Mets have a star outfield prospect and Juan Soto is, like, a star catcher. That almost makes – if, like, Alvarez was Juan Soto and Juan Soto
was
Alvarez –
Yeah, if it was a similar position that you – yeah, for sure.
Then it would almost make more sense if there's, like, a star catcher that they're going to trade – and then the Mets didn't have a star catching prospect, then look, they'd obviously find room for him if they trade
him. Yeah, like
him.
They could, like, get creative and do something. They could trade Alvarez. They could trade Beatty. They could do some stuff. And then if they get Contreras, they could just keep Contreras long-term. I mean, it's not the worst option, but Contreras is 30. Francisco Alvarez is 20. Like that's 10 years, 10-year difference. And Alvarez is going to be ready to play in the majors at 21 years old. So you think you could, if Alvarez is going to be the hitter that many think he's going to be, for 15 years, we could have him in this lineup as a stud catcher. I mean, that's hard to just get rid of, no matter who you're trading for.
Right. I just don't think the Mets are in a desperate enough position to be like, we need another star player. And I guess we'll see where it ends up going. But that would just be, I would be very wary. Not that Juan Soto wouldn't be great. He would be excellent. But I would just be very wary of trading a lot of, like, they'd have to trade like six players to get him.
Yeah,
like six good players.
They'd have like no farm system left.
And I think they're in a good enough position this year to improve the team enough to really be World Series contenders without him. And if that's the case, why get him?
And
like, that's just
you,
my feeling.
You get to keep your chips for the future in case there's a certain prospect you want to get rid of that you have another player that's not going to take four or five prospects to get.
Right.
They want this one guy. Besides Beatty or Alvarez, they're not going. But.
Right. Like, I think, like we said, Mauricio, I think, is expendable just based on the positions he plays. Mm-hmm. Vientos, like, I think he mostly plays third base. He's been playing first base. I think if they traded him, he could go in a deal. I think it depends.
They get like JD Martinez. I could see them sending over Vientos if they want like a major league ready player, you know, like a Vientos,
right.
Maybe a Dom Smith. And
that's what I'm saying. I think Dom Smith would almost make the most sense for the Red Sox, who have actually had a lot of trouble finding a good first baseman over the last few years. So yeah, I guess we'll see. We'll see what the Dom Smith situation is. We'll see if they end up finding someone who wants to take JD Davis. I don't know. We'll by Tuesday. A lot could be very different with the Mets roster. A lot could be different with a lot of teams' rosters. Ultimately, it does seem like, you know, even just the fact that they've made minor trades so far, they're interested in improving. And I think they know that Vogelbach and Naquin aren't going to move the needle that much. And it seems like they're in the mindset of improving the team as much as they can, hopefully without decimating their entire future as well. That's pretty much all we have this week. Talked about the Subway Series, talked about the trade deadline. It's going to be hopefully a very exciting rest of the season. So, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at NYMFan97. You can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. And of course, follow the podcast at Cohen's Corner Pod. Looking forward to hopefully a great August and September with the Mets. We will be back very soon to chat more about how the Mets season is going. Hopefully have some more exciting guests on in the future. So thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, let's go Mets.